Australia has struck a bilateral security deal with Indonesia, the second major treaty that it's struck in as many months. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese announced the deal alongside Indonesia's President Prabowo Subianto in Sydney.
This is a watershed moment in the Australia-Indonesia relationship. This treaty represents a major extension of our existing security and defence cooperation. It shows the relationship is as strong as it has ever been.
That's the Prime Minister speaking in Sydney yesterday. Well, joining me now is Andrew Wilkie, independent member for Clark, who was previously in another life an intelligence analyst. Andrew Wilkie, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Sally.
How would you characterise the significance of this new security treaty with Indonesia?
I think it's very significant. It can't be emphasised enough how important our relationship with Indonesia is, both at an economic level and as a security level. Remember, it's the fourth most populous country in the world. It's our seventh biggest export market. And the countries to our north, obviously Indonesia and PNG, they are central to our national security going forward. So I think the signing of, the signalling of the signing of the Treaty of Common Security and the returning of our bilateral security relationship back to the good old days of, say, the mid-1990s when Prime Minister Keating signed a similar agreement with Indonesia. I think it's good. It's good work by the government. Of course, there's, you know, we now want to see the detail. We now want to know what does it really mean, because at the moment it's fairly vague. It's been limited in the comments in the media to a commitment to both countries consulting in case of adverse security circumstances. And it does allow for a joint military response to any threat to either country. I mean, that is very significant, but what lies behind it remains to be seen.
How will it be implemented in a practical sense when Indonesia has a long-standing tradition of non-alignment?
Well, I think it's because of their long-standing tradition of non-alignment that this agreement is actually extra significant. For them to go this far, I mean, it's not an alliance agreement, but it is a pretty tight security agreement. You know, I think Indonesia has gone as far as it can and still maintain publicly and for all intents and purposes be seen as a non-aligned country. Another dimension of this I think is very important, hasn't been commented on yet, is, you know, we've just signed a security agreement with PNG, which could be seen as a threatening move by Indonesia. The fact that we've now signed a security agreement with Indonesia, so the three countries, well, Australia and PNG and Australia and Indonesia, we have these two separate agreements, I think they sort of balance each other out. And it sends a signal to Indonesia that our agreement with PNG is no threat to Indonesia.
What kind of detail do you need to see to get a full understanding of what's being agreed to here?
Well, it is vague. Some people might say it's deliberately vague to keep our potential adversaries guessing. But it doesn't really give us any insight into what is Indonesia's position if the Russians should indeed seek to have a permanent air force presence in Indonesia. There's no clarity about what happens if there's continued altercations between the Indonesian Navy and, say, Chinese patrol boats, Coast Guard boats, along its northern border. And also, crucially, what does it mean for Australia's continued cooperation with the Indonesian security services and the training of those security services? Because, Sally, as you'd be well aware, as listeners would be well aware, there's been this controversy for decades about us training their security services who might then go on and commit human rights abuses in, say, West Papua or Aceh. You know, I think the public needs to have confidence that having a tight bilateral security agreement, it's good, but it shouldn't be an enabler for bad things to happen.
It was reported earlier this year that Russia wanted to use an Indonesian airbase where it could station warplanes. How confident are you that this new treaty would improve communication lines when Canberra needs clarification from Jakarta?
Well, you would hope it would, because one of the things we do know about this treaty is that there will be regular ministerial level consultations. So you would hope the channels of communication would be open. That was an unfortunate episode where, you know, there was all that uncertainty about whether or not the Russians had asked, and whether or not the Indonesians had agreed to allow a permanent Russian Air Force presence in Papua. Mind you, that was all battered away eventually. But let's loop back to the point, though, Sally, about Indonesia is an independent and non-aligned country. We should not be surprised when they have not just a security agreement with Australia, but they have military-to-military or diplomatic interactions with other countries. Sometimes they might be unpalatable to us, but that's what you get when you have a non-aligned country. It tries to be friend to all and not necessarily in an adversarial relationship with Russia.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast. My guest is Independent Member for Clark in the Federal Parliament, Andrew Wilkie. The Minister for Home Affairs, Tony Burke, has confirmed that he met with the President of Nauru, David Adiang, in Canberra this week after the Pacific Islands leader made an unannounced visit to Parliament House. Have you made inquiries to get further details about those meetings and that visit?
No, not yet, but I will. And I share some of the concerns of Senator, the Green Senator yesterday that you had on the show, David Shoebridge. It was a curious thing how the Nauruan president was, I wouldn't say smuggled through the side door, but it certainly wasn't the normal way that a head of state would visit Parliament House. I mean, it's just another part of this really murky relationship that we have with Nauru. I mean, there are so many parts of this, it's hard to tease them all out in a short session right now. But remember, we're paying them $408 million to resettle hundreds of non-citizens that were caught up in the High Court NZYQ decision. We're paying them another $70 million a year just in sort of running costs for that agreement. You know, sadly, I think we're a colonialist. I remember reading a diplomatic cable back when I worked in the world of intelligence. And even back then, over 20 years ago, there was a reference to how we had bought Nauru. And I think that is still the case. The country's only kept afloat with Australian cash. And I'd like to see greater transparency and a less paternalistic relationship with that country.
Andrew Wilkie, thank you very much for your time this morning on Breakfast.
Good on you. Thanks, Sally.